This story takes place in Bavel. Everyone knows that after the first Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar took the Yidden to Bavel in Golus. In that time, in the city of Sura in Bavel, was the great tzaddik Rav. In the Gemara, you'll have Rav and Shmuel. Well, this is about Rav. Rav was a great, great tzaddik. And of course, he was a part of the Beis Din. A Beis Din is the court, the judges. People that have a problem, or they have a shaila, or somebody did chas v'shalom wrong to them, and they want to take care of it according to the Torah, they go to the Beis Din. One day, into the Beis Din, came a very poor man, dressed in rags and shmatis, his shoes falling apart, and his eyes were looking down at the ground, and he looked very sad. And he was afraid even to come into the Beis Din, because he knows in the Beis Din are big tzaddikim. And he was thinking to himself, who am I that I should have the schus to talk to a big tzaddik? I'm just a very poor man. But he was crying. And Rav saw him come in. And he said, please come here. Why do you come today to Beis Din? And he was so embarrassed to stand in front of Rav, the great tzaddik, he could hardly speak. Rav says, don't worry. There's nothing to be afraid of. Please speak. You came to the Beis Din today. It seems something is bothering you. And the poor man says, well, maybe what happened to me is not important. I'm such a poor man, because the reason I came, the reason I'm crying, is that the richest man in the city, he did something to me that I know is wrong. I know it's against the Torah, it's against Hashem. And I felt so bad. And at first I thought, who am I, just such a poor man, and he's the richest man in the whole city. So I thought, maybe if I come, nobody will listen to me, I'm such a poor man. But then I thought, but I'm a Yid. I know the Torah is for every Yid, so I thought maybe I should come, because I feel so bad. I know it was against the Torah. As little Torah as I know what he did was against the Torah. And Rav said to him, of course, the Torah is for every Yid equally. It's for every person. It's not just for rich, and it's not just for poor. It's for everyone the same. Hashem wants the emes. The poor man told Rav the name of the rich man, and he was the richest man in the city. Of course, in order to hear what happened, both sides have to be there at the same time. So Rav said, you come back tomorrow together with the rich man that you're telling me about, and I will listen to both sides, and we're going to do what's fair according to the Torah. And Rav said, I'm going to send a shliach, I'm going to send a messenger for the Beis Din, to tell the man that you're telling me about, the rich man, that he should come tomorrow. And you come back also tomorrow. And Rav told him when to come back, and he left. And the shliach of the Beis Din now goes into the beautiful, beautiful neighborhood where the richest people live. And they go to the biggest, most beautiful of the houses, a big mansion. And they go and knock on the door. And the servant comes to the door and he says, I'm a shliach from the Beis Din. I want to speak to the master of the house, the rich man. And they let him in. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful big house with servants everywhere and slaves. And people running around doing whatever the rich man wants them to do. And all of a sudden, the servant from the door goes to the rich man. He's sitting on his big chair by the table. And he says, a shliach from the Beis Din is here. And the rich man seems very surprised. The Beis Din? What for? And the shliach says, Rav, the head of the Beis Din, calls you tomorrow to a din Torah. Somebody is complaining about something you did, and you must come tomorrow to the Beis Din with the other person. And the rich man seems surprised. Who is it? Who complained about me? And the shliach said, such and such a name, and he's the poor, the rich man knew that this name of this man, he was the poorest man in the city, the poorest of the poorest people. And the rich man says, what? That little nothing poor man is calling me to the Beis Din? Does he know who he's talking about? Who he's starting up with me? I'm the richest man. I'm powerful. I own fields, and I own buildings, and I own houses, and I own slaves. I own practically the whole city. And I'm so important. And he's starting up with me? Ha! I'm not going to go to the Beis Din with him. I'm going to feel low if I go to the Beis Din with him. Forget it. I'm not coming. He's not important enough that I should go to the Beis Din. Oh, what could I have possibly done to him anyway? And besides, even if I did something, so what? He's such a nothing poor person. Big deal. Doesn't matter anyway. He's such a nothing poor person. Kinalach. The shliach of the Beis Din left. He went back and told Rav. He told Rav what happened. And the rich man continued on and on, bragging about himself to his family. Ha! Imagine that. A person like me, who owns animals, lakes, forests, businesses, houses, and people come to me all the time asking me for money, asking me for help, asking me for jobs. And after all, I give money to poor people too. And probably to that poor man, I also put some money in his hand once in a while. And he comes and he has a complaint against me in Beis Din, and he's calling me to come to a din Torah. Oh, forget it. No, I'm much too important for that. I have no time for that. I'm not interested to go to the Beis Din with that person. No, 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 no. If it was somebody big and important, maybe I'd go, but not him. And Kinalach, he's going on and on, bragging about how powerful he is, important he is, smart he is, how rich he is. And after the shliach told Rav about what happened, Rav shook his head like this. He says, isn't that sad that this rich man does not recognize it's not because of him he has the riches? It's not because of himself that he has all the money and all the fields and all the things that he has. It's because of Hashem's bracha. And the same Hashem who gives a bracha can continue giving the bracha if a person appreciates where his bracha comes from. And in 1 minute, he can also take it away if, chas v'shalom, a person becomes such a baal gaiva, he forgets about Hashem and he's only thinking about himself. That's what gaiva is, where a person only thinks about himself, especially if he's bragging about himself. As soon as those words came out of the mouth of Rav, as we know, a tzaddik says words, kinalach, his words come into the world and bring koiches into the world from Hashem. The words of a tzaddik make things happen in the world. They're halik. As soon as these words came out of the mouth of Rav, all of a sudden, this is what happened a few miles away by the big, beautiful house of the rich man. All of a sudden, coming up his driveway, come soldiers of the king and a messenger, an officer of the king dressed in a fancy uniform. Of course, the soldiers were dressed also in fancy uniforms, but the officers are even fancier. And a few trumpet players that have to blow trumpets because this officer is going to give over some kind of a message from the king. And they stop in front of the king of the rich man's house. And the trumpeters blow their horns. Beep, 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 beep. And the officer says, "I come with a message from the king of Bavel." And the king of Bavel is very upset about you. And he says the name of the rich man. Rich man says, "Me? How does the king of Bavel know about me to be upset with me?" "Oh, yes. The king of Bavel knows about you for quite some time. People are coming and telling the king of Bavel how you yourself are acting like a king. You're always bragging. You're saying how powerful you are, how great you are, how many people you boss around, how rich you are. Don't you know that only a king speaks this way?" And when the king of Bavel heard that you're speaking this way, he says, "Wait a minute. Two kings in Bavel? Only one king in Bavel. One king is enough for Bavel, not two. I don't want anybody else to be a king in Bavel. I'm going to show him that I'm the king." And the officer says, "The king hereby takes away everything that you own, your house, your fields, your forests and your lakes, your money, your furniture, your clothes, your houses and your buildings, and every tiny thing, even to your shoes." And he takes away everything, and everything now belongs not to you, but to the king himself. And as he's speaking, some of the soldiers go over by the door of the house and stand there with their swords out. And the officer goes on and he says, "You're not even allowed to go back into your house. And not only that, you yourself are now going to become the slave of the king. You're no longer a free man. You have to be the slave of the king in order that you should know he's the king and he's the boss. And you're only to listen to the king and stop acting like a king yourself. And you're coming right now to the king of Bavel." And they run over to him and they put chains on his arms and his hands. And they start schlepping him with chains. And the rich man starts to cry. "Oh, wait a minute. You can't do this. My house, my things, my fields, my money. You have to let me have my things." "What? It doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the king." And of course the trumpeters blow the trumpets. Beep, 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 beep. And they're schlepping him along. And he starts to cry. And he starts to think to himself, "Why is this happening to me? This is terrible. In 1 minute I've lost everything. Now I'm not only just a poor man. I'm a slave. Oh, I've lost everything." Oh. And then Kinalach, the rich man thinks to himself, of course, when he was a little boy, and he learned in yeshiva, he remembers what his Rebbe taught him. Everything happens from Hashem. Everything happens for a reason. And sometimes a thing happens that a person should have done tshuva. He should have realized something. He didn't realize it. And sometimes there comes a punishment. "Oh, I have to do tshuva. I've done something wrong. Oh, I know what I did wrong. That poor man wanted me to come to the Beis Din. And I didn't want to come. I was acting like such a Baal Gaiva, such a big Mr. Matzius, big shot. I was acting like I was bragging. And I was saying everything. I'm such a rich man. And I did everything myself. And I didn't realize everything's my Hashem. And now I've lost everything." And he starts begging the officer and the soldiers, "Please let me go to Rav. Let me go to the rabbi. I have to go to my rabbi. I have to talk to him just for a few minutes. Please let me go."
No, no, you're going to the king of Babel. You're going to the king of Babel.
Oh, please let me go to my rabbi. I have to speak to my rabbi. Please, just for a few minutes. And he's begging and he's crying. And finally the officer said, look, the king said we have to bring him to Babel. We have to bring him to the palace. But on the way, let's let him stop for 5 minutes to speak to his rabbi. What's the big deal? We'll let him stop for 5 minutes to speak to his rabbi. And they took him in front of the shul of Rav. They took him out of the chains. And they watched him go through the door. And they said, we're waiting for you right here. Because when you come out in 5 minutes, you're going straight to the king of Babel. Don't try to escape, because we're going to surround our soldiers around the whole shul. You won't be able to escape. You'll have to come right back out to us. Only 5 minutes. And the rich man, the poor rich man, of course the rich man who just became poor, he goes into Rav and he starts to cry and tell Rav what happened. And he says, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I see what happened now. I see why it's happening to me, because I was so chutzpahdik and I was such a bal gaiva and I was always bragging and I didn't appreciate Hashem's bracha. I was only thinking about myself and how great I am. I forgot all about Hashem. Oh, I'm being punished, but I feel so bad. I want to do tshuva. I feel so sorry. I'll go to the Beis Din with a poor man, and I'll feel proud to do it. I'll feel happy to do it. I'll go with him. He's better than me. Oh, he's higher than me. I'm worse than him. Because of the way I acted. He's a rich man compared to me. I'm a poor man. He's a rich man compared to me. Oh, I'm so sorry. And Rav smiled at him. He says, look, you're doing a sincere tshuva from your heart. For sure Hashem is listening. And for sure Hashem can help. Oh, but the soldiers are outside. The officers, the generals, they're outside waiting for me. They have the chains. They're taking me to the palace of the king of Babel. Oh, it's too late. Rav says, it's never too late. Yeshua Hashem kicheref ayin. Hashem can help you, mamish, with a blink of an eye. He could save you from a trouble in a second. You don't even know how. Hashem has his ways. Hashem is the Melech HaOlam, the king of the whole world. Don't worry. Go back out. Hashem will help. And the 5 minutes were through. And the poor rich man, he goes out of the shul, back to the officers, back to the generals, back to the soldiers, back to the chains. He's going towards the chains. He's almost in the chains, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 a trumpet blows. Everybody knows what that means. Something's happening for the king, right? And all of a sudden, a horse gallops up there with the royal mailman, the mailman who delivers the king's own mail. Dressed in his fancy uniform, with his bag of mail on his shoulder. Beep, 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 beep. And of course, his trumpeter who blows the trumpet. Mail from the king to the leading officer of this group of soldiers and officers and generals. The king has sent a special delivery letter. Beep, 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 beep. And they open up the letter, and it says, this is a special decree from the king. That man, that rich man that you're taking to be prisoner, to be my slave, I changed my mind. I decided I have enough slaves. I decided I don't need his house and his fields and all of his things. And I've decided to give him a second chance, that he should be able to behave properly and not be such a bragging person and such a proud person and not make himself to be like a king. I decided, I got in a good mood, I'll give him a second chance. And this is a gift from the king, from me to him, that I give him another chance to behave himself, and I'll get all of his things back and he can go home. And as long as he continues behaving himself, he can stay home with all of his things and all of his wealth, as long as he recognizes the true king. Akenalach, the rich man heard that. And of course, the king of Babel, he meant the true king on himself. But the rich man knew that the real meaning of the true king is not a king of Babel and not a person king. You know who the true king is?
Hashem.
Hashem. Who wants to say it in the microphone? Who is the true king?
Hashem.
Hashem is the true king. He knew that even though the king of Babel is saying this in the letter, but Hashem is really the true king, and he really is thinking about Hashem. And he went home, and he was never anymore a Balgaive. He was never a big Mr. Metzias, bragging about himself. He felt low in front of Hashem. He felt that everything was from Hashem's bracha. He went to the Beis Din with the poor man, and he became friends with the poor man, and he helped the poor man, and the poor man also became a rich man. And, kinalach, that's the end of the story. And of course, this rich man, as we know, the real riches is not money. The real riches is in das, is in knowing Hashem. Really, kinalach, this rich man before was a poor man, and now he learned a lesson, and now he became a really rich man. Not that his money and his things were his riches, but his neshama now had more understanding of Hashem's Torah and Hashem's ways, and that's the true riches. And one time, and this is of course a true story, that somebody asked the tzaddik, please help me, I'm doing a terrible aveda. I'm doing a very, very terrible aveda. I know it's wrong, but I can't stop. I'm trying to stop, I can't stop. I mean, it happens. He knows it's wrong, he knows he shouldn't do it, and he tries to stop, but there's something that he can't stop. He can't stop. Now, kinalach, what's the tzaddik going to tell him? You can't do the aveda, you better stop. Listen to what the tzaddik said, kinalach, a very interesting thing. The tzaddik says, I'll tell you what to do. Whenever you sit down to eat, eat nicely. Whenever you have food, eat in the nicest way that you can, the most edel way that you can. Now we all know that there's a way to eat chas shalom like an animal, that a person is eating in a wild, not nice way, like an animal, because he's out of control and he's not eating like a mensch. And there's a way, you know, you clear off the place and you take a plate and a fork and a spoon and a knife and a napkin, and of course you say a bracha, and you cut the food before you eat it as much as you can put in your mouth nicely, and you chew your food nicely and you eat nicely and you don't make a mess, and you eat slowly, not rushing and not gulping down. We all know how to eat like a mensch. Now, kinalach, the tzaddik didn't say anything about the aveda. He did not start screaming about, don't do the aveda. He didn't talk about the aveda. He says, eating should be in the most edel, nice way. And of course, the man wondered, what's he talking about eating for? What's it got to do with it? Kenalach, listen to this, because it's mamish, it's very, very important, maaseh. The man followed the tzaddik's advice, and he ate in the nicest way possible. And after a few weeks, he completely, completely got out of that aveda, and he never again did the aveda. Now, what happened over here? Before, he was trying to stop doing the aveda. He could never stop doing it. And now, he wasn't even told, he wasn't even yelled at not to do the aveda, but all of a sudden it stopped because he was eating nicely. And you know why? Does anybody want to guess why? Yeah. How is he able to stop? Come here. Come here. How is he able to stop? By eating nicely.
Because he ate good, so he became good.
So he ate good food, so he became good? That's an interesting answer. Let's see if anybody else can guess an answer. It's not an easy answer to guess. I just want to see what you think.
A tzaddik told him to do it and he listened.
Well, that's a beautiful answer. That's for sure. That's for sure probably the main part, that when a tzaddik tells you to do something, so then it gives you the koyach to be able to do it. Yeah.
When a tzaddik says something, you don't really understand it.
Okay, now you're saying a true thing, but here there is something to understand. In other words, if a tzaddik says something, you do it even if you don't understand it. But if you can understand something in the Torah or in a story, after somebody already did it, if you can understand something, you know, you try to understand it. Okay. The neshama is like a rope. One end is attached to Hashem, and the other end is attached to us. Now, sometimes, kinalach, chas v'shalom, a person will do something wrong, he pulls on the low end of the rope, because he did something that was not good, he pulled himself down, and at the same time, because it's like a rope, all the way up on the other side, he pulls Hashem down also, which is of course not good. Okay, because the neshama is like a rope. Now, the other way around. Sometimes, one end of the rope is stuck, and you can't unstick it. Like the man was doing an aveda, the low end of the rope was very low, it was stuck onto an aveda, and he couldn't get out of it. So the tzaddik says, instead of pulling on that end, go to a different place on the rope and pull over there, where it's not so stuck. Now, kinalach, you have a neshama, and you also have what's called a nefesh habahamis, an animal soul. Now, the different koiches, the different powers of your animal soul also are connected in a certain way. Now, he was doing an aveda, that means one end of his rope was stuck. The tzaddik says, go to the other end. Now, when you eat, you're also using your animal soul. An animal also eats. A person also eats like an animal. Of course, you have to be eating in a way that's not an animal way, even though you are eating. But if you work on it, you can eat like a person and not an animal. But since they both eat, it's also connected with the animal soul. He said, go on this end, and you're going to make yourself better the way you eat. So what is he doing? He's pulling up this end of his rope. Now what happens if you pull on this end? What happens on the other end? It also gets pulled, because if you pull on one end of a rope, the other end also gets pulled. So because he worked on his eating, and he pulled himself higher and higher in how nice he was eating, at the same time, kinalach, the other end of the rope got pulled, and he did not anymore have the big, big koyach to go and do that aveda. He pulled himself up on this side, he pulled himself up the same time on the other side. And that's how he got out of doing it. And that's the way it is. Sometimes you work on one side, and you have a problem. So go work on the other side.